This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken. Today we look at one of the significant parables of our Lord and gain some interesting insights. And Dr. Wyatt will share that it is all about the kingdom.
Thank you, Dennis. I find the subject of the kingdom of God tantalizing and very special. Sharon reads from the 13th chapter of Matthew, and I want to share some wonderful realities of just what God has in store for us all.
And great crowds gathered about him, so he got into a boat, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. When anyone hears the word of this kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in yet another, 30.
Thank you, Sharon. Sharon's reading is the familiar parable of the sower and our Lord's interpretation, all of which is certainly well known by most of us. But I want to take this introduction to this parable to look further at what our Lord will term the word of the kingdom. Obviously, our Lord's meaning with the phrase equates this kingdom with our gospel message. But is that all there is to the kingdom, the gospel? The answer is yes and no. The gospel message, or if you will, for our discussion now, the preaching of the kingdom, is indeed all that is necessary. But it is far more than the message of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord, but includes our entire biblical story, from creation, Eden, through the presentation of Israel before God at Sinai, to the tabernacle, Solomon's temple, to Ezekiel's prophecy concerning what is termed the Messianic temple, and what is entailed in the Messianic presentation Jesus has given us. Yes, it is more. So too is our ideas of the kingdom of God, or as Matthew will relate it for what he sees as his largely Jewish audience, the kingdom of heaven. And to repeat what I have written, these are, despite what some incredible blind and unprepared scholars have taught, they are exactly the same. That includes such phrases as God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, or just plain the kingdom. Our Lord, in this involved parable of the sower, reveals what he here calls the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Of course, when he describes the seed that has been sown by the sower as the word of the kingdom, it should be clearly perceived here that this is describing the effort or acceptance of that word. Yes, our witnessing, preaching, has a mixed effort, but that is just one view of the kingdom. Matthew has related here another parable of our Lord about which the kingdom of heaven may be compared, of a man that sows good seed, but finds that what he calls an enemy has thrown weeds in amongst him, or as our ancient translators put it, tares. Yet rather than try to weed while the grain is young and thus damaging the young shoots of the good grain, he will allow it all to grow together until harvest, and then separates the good grain from the noxious weeds, binds the weeds and burns them, and gathers the wheat into his barns. This, too, is not a difficult image to decipher. It is our existence now, with the good and evil all existing together in our one world. But at harvest, when the Lord returns, one will go to the fire, the other is in the Master's care. These two images are compatible and easily seen in practice, that the acceptance of the gospel or the kingdom of God will vary. Some will not, some will barely, and some will produce greatly, and that this all will exist until judgment. Our Lord will, in Matthew's account, provide another perspective. The kingdom is like a mustard seed, a very small seed, but which can grow to become a large shrub or small tree that even birds can nest in, meaning even though small at the beginning, it will become large. It's like a small bit of leaven, given time will leaven the whole loaf. That it, the gospel, or the kingdom, let us not lose the obvious comparison. It is like a hidden treasure or a great pearl. Once discovered and knowing its great worth, you will go to any extremes or pay any price, for it is that grand, or we might say that important. It is highlighted by the last parable in this section in Matthew, that this kingdom or the gospel message is about a great catch of fish, which is brought ashore where the fish are separated. This is, of course, the parable of the wheat and tares retold. But as a conclusion to the parables of the growth of the kingdom or of the efforts of the gospel and those of how valuable is the kingdom, or we might say the acceptance of the gospel. For there is to be a separation, and the good kept and the bad burned or thrown away. So what is then the kingdom? What is this all about? In truth, among many themes in our Bible, like the election, the promised seed, the love of God, the sacrifice that atones, the kingdom is another such theme, which can easily be found threaded throughout our Bible. And perhaps it is the main one, for it includes, even absorbs, all the other themes. It arises from God's own purpose in everything. His creating this world, Abraham, and all those promises, the Israelites and their land, David as king, and lastly, and most important, the promised Messiah, the everlasting King like David, the Father's Son, the whole suffering unto Calvary, and the ultimate victory. It is all one theme. There is no real dispensational division. It is all one seamless thread that involves all Scripture and results in a multitude without number from every tribe, nation, and tongue singing a new song before the throne of God and the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. So if we can make this simple and shorter, we will try. It begins with the creation of the universe, the Big Bang, where our God thus created with infinite fine-tuning, enabling all that is to come into existence, so that this creation of life, including man, might thrive. Why? Because of his desire for this kingdom. For that is what the Garden of Eden was all about. Adam and Eve were placed there to, as the Hebrew states, Avid and Samar, which is usually translated as till and care, for in that case, a garden. But these two words are never used together except to describe the work of the priests and Levites, and thus should be rendered as serve and maintain, as in a temple before God. In other words, the call of Adam and Eve were more to undertake to be the beginning of a priesthood before God, that as Isaiah prophesied, the heavens is the throne of God, and earth is his footstool. This is the existence of his throne room, and the original purpose was for Adam and Eve to be blessed, multiply, and to fill the earth, expanding this throne room, this kingdom, where all the world would have access to the tree of life. But as we all know, they failed. And thus all of this loss, the possibility of living eternally as priests and supplicants before the very existence of God, who would be dwelling among us. Yes, that was the purpose, and is still the purpose. Abel tried to reestablish that place, but then Cain killed him. Soon the world became so bad that God repented of even creating us. And but for one family, he destroyed all sinful flesh and started again. Noah receiving the same covenant, rather than filling the earth, they built a tower, a ziggurat, to make a name for themselves so they would not be scattered. Yet from Babel, they would all be scattered. Here God now will choose another family, call Abram out of Ur, to a land to which he will show him, and he will make him a blessing to all the families of the earth, making of him a great nation. To make that happen, the hand of God is to be fully seen. First for Abram, now to be known as Abraham and his wife, will have their promised son Isaac when Sarah is 90 years old. As the angel of the Lord will say, nothing is too hard for God. This begins a remarkable story, which will find Jacob with his family moving to the protection of Joseph to dwell in Egypt during the great famine. Then, of course, after 400 years under slavery, Moses is given directions from out of a burning bush at God's direction, and after 10 plagues, the Israelite slaves are brought before the Lord God at Mount Horeb. I know I've skipped a lot, but again the kingdom is about to become central once more. God confirms the covenant again, this time to Israel as a whole. Here is offered to them in the words of God, if you will obey my voice and keep my commandments, you shall be my own possession among all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Note what God has offered the children of Israel, that they can be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, serving before the living God, where he would dwell among them. But Moses is not 40 days on the mount before God tells him to go down, for the people have corrupted themselves. And God speaks of his anger as such that if he goes among the people, he will consume them. Moses has to intercede for them, But the offer, the covenant, changes. Now the tent of meeting is moved outside of camp, far outside of camp, lest, as God says, he consumes them. Now the Levites are chosen to intercede, and Aaron's family in particular, to be consecrated as mediators for the people as high priests. A tabernacle or tent of meeting is built to the exact specifications of the Lord. This to emphasize that the tabernacle is a symbolic presentation, that this is a miniaturization representing what was and will be his true temple, that the whole of Israel had been called to be a priesthood is too often overlooked, but the Levite priesthood is a compromise of what was meant to be. And what was meant to be is seen in both the dedication of the tabernacle and also the temple. As it is written, Moses finished the work, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud abode upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Such was also said of Solomon's temple. When Solomon had ended his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. That is indeed what one will experience in the very presence of God. Think about it. That was to be Adam and Eve's experience, and all their progeny in that first temple as they spread out over the earth. What Peter, James, and John experienced, but for a few moments. No wonder Peter didn't want to leave such a tangible presence of God. That is what I believe we all seek in our worship, really, being caught up into the very glory and presence of God Almighty, so real, so overpowering, that those ancient priests, even Moses, could not function normally. His real presence is often overpowering, and yet that is exactly what is this kingdom. It is the very reason why the grain, the good fish, are kept. It is God's wish, his purpose, to have those who love and desire him freely to choose him and his presence. Now those that have known where this is going know I have to quote Peter's words again. The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. But you, meaning we believers, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you. Once you were no people, now you are God's people. This royal or kingdom of priests is our calling. We are to be the bride of the Lamb, the chosen race, and we are to be that priesthood of all believers to serve before God and maintain his temple, which is all the heavens and the new earth, as his footstool. We are his temple, and we are his children in whom he will dwell. Yes, we are to abide in that presence eternally. That's what this has all been about. The kingdom, the gospel, is about a people unto his own, so that he may dwell among us, to walk with us in the cool of the evening. O Lord, may we glimpse just a bit of what is in store for us, for it has not entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, that this wonder, this glory might be quickened in us all. It is the treasure, the great pearl, and is worth everything, as this is about thy kingdom coming on earth, as it is in heaven, all for your glory forever. Amen and amen.
It is remarkable how much we can uncover and learn from our Lord. We want to be that good soil, producing abundantly for what is to be the great and glorious kingdom of our God. As we are so obedient, we will find our lives enriched with good things. Thomas has a book titled, A Question of the Kingdom. It is a wonderful resource and can be yours at no charge. Just write to us and ask for A Question of the Kingdom. It is our earnest desire to reach as many people with the truth of the gospel as is possible. You can help us in this grand endeavor by becoming a part of the Wings of Healing family. Join with the thousands who already support us with their prayers and contributions for the outreach of this ministry. Ask the Lord what He would have you do. Any gift, large or small, would be greatly appreciated. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This is a subject that has intrigued me for some time, and now I am offering my book, A Question of the Kingdom. Here I make the connection that God has from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, been endeavoring to bring about His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Everything, His effort with Israel, with this gospel message, which is the preaching of the kingdom, is what this is all about. So I hope you'll ask for a copy. Dennis will give our addresses once more. But now Keith and Kristen Getty perform one of their own appropriate songs, The Power of the Cross. So until next week, do enjoy your part in God's kingdom.
Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood.
Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs are available of these programs, and this week Dr. Wyatt wants all who will write to receive a copy of his study, A Question of the Kingdom. There is a lot here, so if you are at all interested in the kingdom, do write and ask for A Question of the Kingdom. It is yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him. All right.